The opinions and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
I know you're going to dig this.
Now it's time for the Tri-State Area's brand new radio talk show, Between the Minutes, featuring politicians, businessmen, and professionals in the community. Between the Minutes is brought to you by Cybersoft Operating Corporation, www.cyber.com. And now here's our host for Between the Minutes, Peter Dotti.
Good morning and welcome to Between the Minutes, the Tri-State's newest radio talk show, brought to you by Cybersoft Operating Corporation. I'm your host, Pete Rodotti. The first segment of Between the Minutes will feature the Cybersoft Computer Crime Report. This is similar to my newspaper article in the Philadelphia Public Record discussing many interesting topics about computer security. The internet is a useful but dangerous tool. In the past, we spoke about the specific danger of using the internet with Wi-Fi wireless connections. This is a very common way to use the internet because it eliminates the need to wire your house or office, thereby saving money. It's also very common in coffee shops, airports, and other public places to provide internet service. One problem with Wi-Fi is that people don't protect the connection so that anyone nearby, like your neighbor or someone in a car in the street, can access your connection. You might not consider this much of a problem. After all, it doesn't increase your cost, and you might consider it being neighborly. But there are dangers. The first danger is if some unknown person makes use of your open Wi-Fi connection to do something illegal. Any tracking done by the police will bring them to your doorstep because your Wi-Fi was the point of entry into the internet. Not a pleasant situation, and certainly the evidence will point to you until you prove yourself innocent. That will cost money and take time. Another problem is that people can listen in to what you're doing on your Wi-Fi connection. It's actually easier to do, and there are new hacker tools that make it easier being announced all the time. One newer attack that received a lot of publicity is called FireSheep. It's an add-on to the Firefox web browser and allows crooks to browse what you are doing on your Wi-Fi connection. That includes taking control of your accounts. Here's what you need to do. First, make sure that your Wi-Fi connection is password protected and do not distribute the password. Second, make sure that full encryption is turned on between your computer and a Wi-Fi device. Not all Wi-Fi devices support this feature, but it is the easiest way to protect your connection. If you cannot turn on full encryption and you cannot replace your Wi-Fi device, then attempt to make all connections to internet web servers using TLS SSL connection encryption. One way of doing this is to always start a web address with HTTPS instead of HTTP. Not all sites support SSL encryption, including some parts of Google, but at least you will know when you are protected and when you're not. Next is a clever little hack called war texting, which is being used to unlock cars and even start them using a laptop computer. If you own one of the newer cars that allows you to unlock and start your engine using your cell phone, then this attack could affect you. An example of this is the OnStar's remote link cell phone application, but there are others. Car manufacturers are racing to fix the problem. If you own a late model General Motors, Mercedes, or BMW, you should contact your dealer and ask them if they have a fix for the war texting problem. Our last story today was reported by Robert McMillan of the IDG News Service. There's a legal way for hackers to turn a buck. Hackers who are not crooks are turning in security bugs and being paid a bounty. Some of the companies paying bounties are Facebook, Google, and Mozilla. A cross-site script attack might pay a base of $500, while more serious attacks are paid more. Google pays between $500 and $3,133.70. No idea where they got the 70 cents. The hacker has to keep mum about the flaw until the company has a chance to fix it, but then they get to tell everyone about what they found. The hacker still gets the street cred, and now they get paid in the process. A little good from something bad. And wrapping up this week's segment of the Cybersoft Computer Crime Report, I hope some of the subjects I spoke about were helpful to you. Make sure you read my article every Thursday in the Philadelphia Public Record newspaper. We'll be right back with today's guest on Between the Minutes on Radio 860 AM.
The Between the Minutes radio show is brought to you by CyberSoft Operating Corporation, www.cyber.com, for the best in antivirus software security.
My name is Anthony Murphy. I'm the Executive Director of TownWatch Integrated Services. I'd like you to reach out to me so we can start a TownWatch in your community. We work in the city of Philadelphia in all 22 police districts, and we'd like to work with you to improve the quality of life in the neighborhood where you live. You can reach me at 215-686-1459, or you can reach us at www.townwatch.net. Reach out. Start a TownWatch in your community. Let's improve the quality of life in the city of Philadelphia.
Looking to increase your business and build your selling power? Then you should advertise on Between the Minutes, the Tri-State's newest political, business, and special interest radio talk show, Between the Minutes. Heard every Tuesday at 10 a.m. on Radio 860 AM, WWDB. For more information, call 610-828-8333. That's 610-828-8333. Or email sales@betweentheminutes.com.
Hi, this is Pete Rodotti of Between the Minutes. Almost 1 million neighbors are suffering from hunger in the Delaware Valley. That's more people than ever before. For help, call 800-319-3663 or visit www.philabundance.org to see how you can help your neighbors in need.
Between the Minutes continues on 860 AM WWDB. Brought to you by CyberSoft Operating Corporation. www.cyber.com.
Welcome back to Between the Minutes, the Tri-State Area's new radio talk show featuring politicians, business people, and professionals. Between the Minutes is brought to you by CyberSoft Operating Corporation. For the best in antivirus security, go to www.cyber.com. Let's get back to today's show and guest on Between the Minutes, general election candidate for mayor in the November primary, Karen Brown. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me here.
Well, you're starting to become a regular. we're gonna have to put your name on the chair over there or something.
I enjoy being here because at least my voice gets out, and I'm glad that people actually get to hear me on your station. Everybody's been listening, and they're really thrilled about me being on here and you letting me actually get my opinions and voice out.
We actually got a thank you letter from one of the churches in the Archdiocese recently. We ran a bunch of ads for them, and the number of people who went to their feast, which is a fundraiser, increased by 40%. The revenue increased by 40% just by running a few ads on our show. So I guess we got people listening, and they are hearing you.
I really appreciate it, especially the Archdiocese, since I taught there for so many years.
Well, that's good. So, you know, let's talk a little bit about the firemen, because last time we talked a lot about education and, you know, all the insanity that's going on in education with the budget, with, you know, nobody actually seems to care about how they spend money. Rubber rooms, which sounds almost like it should be against the Geneva Convention. But I think we killed that topic. Let's talk about the firemen. If you're elected mayor, what are you going to do with the firemen?
As far as I'm concerned, firemen and the police should never be cut when you have a budget crunch. That's the one thing people move into the city for. There's three things. There's schools and firemen and cops, because they want to know that when they're walking on the street, or heaven forbid there's a fire in their home, that there's going to be somebody there to take care of them. And when you cut these services, how is the city supposed to survive? And the first thing he removed was the paramedics. So now you got firemen. They're not really paramedics trained to do, not really trained to do first responder calls doing them, because there's nobody else out there. Then he removed the engines. And eventually we're going to go to a volunteer fire department, because I think that's the way he's going. He's going to cut them down to the bare bones where there's nothing left and the only thing they can do is volunteer. They're just about doing that now because he cut their overtime.
Well, wasn't there a number of stations that were closed, or is it like a rolling brownout?
There is a rolling brownout, and there's also what he's doing is cutting the overtime for the firemen. So if, in fact, they are on and their time is up, they literally are not – they're getting paid straight time, if at all. And they're taking the calls anyway because they're dedicated for what they're doing. So it's a shame. And the cops have – I don't know if you know – but their police force, the cars in the police force are over 15 years old. They literally are not new. They're 15-year-old cars that they're working with. And it's ridiculous that we have a police force with cars that are 15 years old. Some of the cops have not been on the force for 15 years. Those cars are older than they are and their job life. Why we have policemen with engines that freeze, why we have policemen with cars that those cars should have been trashed a long time ago is beyond me. You would think in our city, the fifth largest in the United States, with the flash mobs, the way they're going, that we would give our police force anything they needed and the best equipment so that they can keep our streets straight, safe. Why we are allowing them to have little bit or nothing as far as equipment goes, and there are no upgrades on their equipment. The firemen, too. They removed the engines, and they've cut them down to bare bones. The brownouts are one thing. That's what everybody hears are the brownouts, but that's not everything. They took away their medics. They're taking away their engines. We are keeping our core services at the bare minimum and trying to run a city that way because he believes he can save money. I believe he needs to look elsewhere. I think he needs to give them back everything they need, and he needs to upgrade their equipment.
How does getting rid of the well, I guess if you get rid of the paramedics, you're going to save a certain amount of money, but you're going to have a lot of people dying.
Obviously, that doesn't matter to him, as long as it's not his house burning. I mean, he closed down. He did.
Well, I didn't even get to the firemen. I'm talking just paramedics. I mean, the whole reason paramedics exist is because the first 20 minutes is the most critical during a heart attack or a stroke or some major problem like that. Having somebody with some training that they can start an IV, that can get you on oxygen, that can, you know, check your throat for obstructions, that's critical.
Well, the firemen are trained to be EMTs, but there's a difference between an EMT and a first responder. They're not trained to be first responders. That's what the medics were for. We are lucky that we live in a city as big as ours because there are private ambulance companies that are out there that are assisting the firemen, but we shouldn't be at this level. We had paramedics that were part of the fire department. He removed them because he was saving money. You're right. He saved a lot of money, but at what cost? Does our lives not matter? That's what I'm saying. We are paying for all of this. So shouldn't we have a say in how the money's spent? And I think people need to stand up and say no more.
Well, I think we're paying a lot, but what are we getting?
We're not getting. That's just it. We're not getting the services that we need. We're not getting the firemen or the cops, and they're not getting the equipment or the staff that they need to do the jobs properly.
Well, then what are we getting for our money? What are they spending the money on?
311. You got 311. You got his big staff. We're top heavy. There's too many people in City Hall, and there's not enough people doing the core services because he's cutting them.
So you're telling me that they cut paramedics to increase staff in City Hall?
I can't see what else he spent money on. Can you? Because I haven't seen any there's no renovations being done. There's no development in the city. There is no progress going on. There's no jobs. There's no jobs at all in the city. So where is the money going? If it's not going in City Hall, where is it going? I mean, I know Ramsey got a nice big chunk of change, and I know Ackerman got some more, but where is the rest of the money?
Well, and 10 principals just got a $10,000 bonus each. I mean, there's some of it.
Yeah, we're cutting 2,000 teachers. What's wrong with that story? Something's wrong.
No. Well, that's just crazy. And, you know, getting rid of paramedics is just plain wrong because, like I said, you know, it's going to increase problems because, you know, if we don't take care of people when they first have a problem, we're going to have to take care of them later.
But you have to understand Michael Nutter's philosophy. He started with the pools. Do you remember that whole scene with the pools in the libraries?
Right.
What happened? He got private industry to come in and pay the nut. And that's why the pools in the libraries are up. It's not that he found the money. He got somebody else to pay for it. Now he's going at the core services. Why? Because what are people screaming about? They want their core services protected. So he's going to get the corporations or somebody to go along and pay for it. Or he's going to get these guys, these firemen, these cops to volunteer like they do in some of the counties.
Yeah, but you can't have businesses paying for the police. I mean, the first business that's going to come up and offer to support the police is Mafia Mutual. You know, that's just not...
I get you, but I mean, we got businesses paying for pools. We got businesses sustaining the libraries to keep them alive. Eventually, he's working to the point where the city pays for nothing and private industry. He's, you know, it's funny because he doesn't talk about privatizing, but in essence, he is. He's privatizing a lot of the basic services that people need. He hasn't touched unions because I think he's afraid the unions would literally come after him. But he went after things that people deem essential. People are always, they will always find things or find ways to keep their kids after-school programs going, libraries going, pools going, and eventually they will find ways to keep the firemen and the police going. They need to say, no, we shouldn't be looking elsewhere. This is what we pay taxes for. This is what I want my money spent on. Yet nobody does. We've become a very complacent society where we allow this to go on and do nothing to stop it. And I see that's why, you know, all my stuff says a revolution begins with us. We really need to stand up and take back the city. The city was built on people standing up and taking it back. It's time to stand up and take it back again.
Wow. Is this a matter of hardening of the political arteries, or is it just, Mayor Nutter?
I think it's, I put it on the voters. I don't blame Michael Nutter because he's got his own game plan, and you got to give him credit. He's staying with it. He's trying to unload a lot of the responsibility that the city has on other people to take the night. He doesn't want to cut it. He just doesn't want to pay for it. He wants it to go, but he wants somebody else to pick up the dime.
But the city residents pay the highest taxes in Pennsylvania.
But they don't care about where their money's spent. The voters need to come out. When they vote again, they need to vote for change. They need to say, I'm not going to allow you to do this with my money. Because they forget when they pay those taxes, it's not his money he's spending, it's our money he's spending. And we need to scream. If I was taking your paycheck and buying Reader's water ice for everybody on St. Helena Avenue, wouldn't you be annoyed?
You wouldn't take my paycheck.
But we are taking it. Are we not taking it?
Yeah,
we're legally taking it.
That's a tax, and you have to pay it whether you like it or not.
Yeah, you have to pay. There's a couple of things you have to do, die and pay taxes. I get that. But
you even have to pay taxes after you die.
Dead people vote, so we won't go there.
That's different. Any dead people voting for you?
You know, it was rumored when I went to the Rizzo commemoration, because I was down at the cemetery, that I was trying to rally up some of the voters there. If Rizzo can vote for me, I'd definitely take his vote.
There you go. You're listening to Between the Minutes, brought to you by Cybersoft Operating Corporation at our new time and home, 10 a.m. on 860 a.m. WWDB. Our guest is mayoral candidate Brown. She's running for mayor of City of Philadelphia. And we've been talking about the situation with the money and the firemen and the police. So if you get elected, what are you going to do? I mean, the money is somewhere to pay for these people and these services. How are you going to find it and reallocate it to where it belongs?
You know, the first thing we're going to do, and you know, the saying that my team has put together is a revolution begins with us. We are going, they're going to call me the butcher, and I've already been called that by a couple of the papers, because what I want to do is I want to come from within. I'm literally going to ask the city solicitor when he does the audit not to do from mayor to mayor, but to go 12 years. I want to see where the money's been spent when we actually had money and where it's gone since then. And I'm going to cut, because I believe if I'm going to ask people to cut back, I'm going to cut back myself. And I'm going to start with, which will be my home court, City Hall. We need to cut back on some of the services that we have in there, and we need to make the city employees more accountable. Nobody has, it's not a given right that you get a city job, and when you get one, you should consider yourself lucky and you should be accountable. There's no more free rides. That we have to stop that. We have to stop the patronage jobs too. I don't care if you're friends with Bob Brady or Ed Rendell or Anna Verna or Obama himself. If you're not qualified for the job, then you shouldn't have it. We need to show accountability because we need to be more responsible with taxpayers' money. And I want the taxpayers, if I do something wrong, to tell me about it. I'm not like Nutter. I will listen. And the core services will never be cut because I believe the kids and our lives are very important. And they're things that should come first, not last.
Do you think that there's less money coming into the Treasury or it's just being spent badly?
I think it's a combination of both, because truthfully, there is no money in the Treasury because there's no jobs. He needs to create jobs for us to actually have money. And he hasn't done that in the 4 years he's been in. If anything, he's cut jobs. I know that the building trades have many, many, many people out. Johnny Dock's got over 900 employees out. It's funny because when Rendell was mayor, the city was flourishing and union and non-union worked. The city developed. He developed the Avenue of the Arts. Unfortunately, it stopped at Christian Street. Why, I have no idea. It was meant to go all the way into the Navy Yard and didn't. And then it was supposed to go north all the way down to the Divine Hotel and didn't. I'll gladly go all the way down to the Divine Hotel because that Divine Hotel is an eyesore. Every time I go past it, I want to vomit because that place used to be beautiful. And now you see it, it's dilapidated. That's a shame. that was an icon that Philadelphia had that we've let
go. Well, I remember the old Divine Hotel. I mean, who owns it now?
You know, that's debatable because I asked to see what the city owned. I found out there was not 26,000 empty lots in building, but 32,000. And Tom Knox is now doing he's got a committee to look at them. But yet when I did the right to know to find out and get that list, I was unable to get that. I'm still waiting for that list and the amount of money that we spend on the rubber rooms that we spoke about last week.
Right.
Obviously, they don't want me to know the figures because, heaven forbid, I should actually know where the money's not going.
Well, if you know the figures, you can tell everyone.
Wouldn't it? Yeah, and I'd be on here telling you. I know that in New York, when they had rubber rooms, they spent $30 million on teachers and rubber rooms, and they only had 113 more than we do. I know there's a 703 teachers in the rubber room. They had 815. So if they spent $30 million on those teachers, could you imagine what we're spending? Heaven forbid if we use the buildings that we have to divert some of that money, to sell off the city-owned properties and let the developers go back to developing. I was with Jay Agnes the other day, and they want to develop the city. The builders and contractors and engineers are ready to move, and so are the unions and so are the non-union contractors. They want the work. Get people back working again. You don't need to tax people. You can actually get people working and they'll be spending. We need to divert ways of taxing people. We need to find other ways to get the money and we need to cut.
Wow. I mean, there's a lot of companies that are leaving the city because of the taxes, because of, different issues like that. It's just very expensive to live here and to work here and to own a business here. And then you just get harassed. I mean, incredible amounts of harassment with paperwork. Filing your taxes is an adventure because no matter if you file your taxes correctly or not, it doesn't get processed correctly, you know. Hey, we got a caller. We have Mike from Local 22 on the phone. Mike, you there?
Yeah, how you doing?
You have a question?
No, somebody had called me and said Ms. Brown wanted to talk about the fire department and cuts of service and stuff like that. So they hand me the number, and I'm just making the call.
Okay, well, here she is right here, and we've been talking about fire, and we've been talking about the paramedics no longer being there and the engines not being available and rolling brownouts. Can you add anything to this?
What would you like to know? I mean, I'll tell you anything you like to know. Now, the medics are still part of the union. The city had tried to have them kicked out of our union, but we had to go to court and stop that.
Why would they want them kicked out of your union?
What happened a few years ago that the medics had filed a lawsuit against the city under FMLA and basically Fair Labor Management Act, saying they weren't being paid for their overtime correctly.
Okay.
And they won the suit to millions of dollars. And what they did, they turned around, and their argument was that they weren't firefighting. They were medics. And then once that they won the lawsuit, the city turned around and said, well, if you're not firefighters, then you shouldn't be in a firefighters union. And our contention, the union's contention, is the fire service is like five fingers in a glove. I mean, the people in fire prevention don't fight fires. They're in there for education. The people in the fire marshal's office, the people that investigate fires, the people in the administration, they're all part of EMS.
Why would the city or anybody think they have the right to tell you who your membership can and can't be?
It's the arrogance of the city. I mean, the city administration is what we've been putting out with the last couple of years is outrageous, and we're to the point. And here's a perfect thing. Now we haven't had a contract for what, a year and a half now. Basically, we had a contract awarded, and the city appealed it, right away. This was issued October 12th of 2010, which our contract had ended, I believe, July 1st of that year. So we haven't had a now, during that contract negotiations and binding arbitration, the chairman and the impartial arbitrator was a man named Michael Zobrak. And when he did his entire award, there were some things that were brought out that we were like astonished at. Basically, in 2010, they reduced the city's police department budget by $4 million in fiscal year 2010, all right? Now, the police department is three times the size of the Philadelphia Fire Department, but they reduced the fire department budget by $8 million in the same year.
Mike, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Today in the Daily News, they say that you're blaming the brownouts for the fire response time, and they're saying that's not true, that the fire response time was slow even before the closures.
Well, here's the thing. I just retired after 33 years in the fire department. I retired as a battalion chief. A lot of times when they, like the tragedy they had up in Alani, all right, where a couple children died.
I was there. I'm on your side, totally. I think that this is nonsense, but go ahead.
And what happened was they said, well, the first arriving unit was in there within 5 minutes, which is a national standard. What they didn't tell the public was the first arriving unit that they said was in there within 5 minutes was a battalion chief's car. It was battalion two. All right? Now, that battalion chief, the only thing he has is his radio and his communications vehicle. He has no hose line to put any water on the fire. He has no ladders to do any kind of ventilation or rescue work. All he's doing, he's pulling up, he's giving a report, and he's giving instructions to the incoming companies. You know, the first in engine was 2 minutes behind him. And the idea that they'd say, well, we were there within 5 minutes. Yeah, the first arriving unit was a battalion chief, and the only thing he had was the mic of his radio.
Mike, isn't it true that they were blacked out? The fire department that was the firehouse that was next to them, weren't they on a brownout at that time?
I'm not sure if they were browned out or if they were on a different run. I'm not sure. I don't know exactly. I wish I'd have known. I was calling in because I actually had all this information in my car, and I didn't bring my car today. So.
I was actually there with Billy Gault and Timmy, and the whole purpose of that, we tried to get media there. Unfortunately, nobody showed up except for Fox 29 for 5 seconds.
Right.
To actually, and they didn't even have the kids. There was one surviving little girl. She survived. The mother watched her two little boys, and she listened to them scream as they burned to death. She was able to pull the little girl out, but she's got scars from her head all the way down to her feet on her left side. They said then that the reason why it took them so long was that there is a fire station literally down the block, but it was on a brownout.
Okay.
And another one came from somewhere else.
I think engine 51 coming from Old York Road was the first in, when I believe it's engine 61 should have been first in.
For a mother to listen to her two little boys, and she was by the window. They couldn't get to them because they were in the basement, and the father tried to pull open the door, and you know what happens with that.
Right.
He just made it worse.
Into the flame,
yeah.
Sure.
So she tried, she broke the window, she got the little girl up, but she listened to her little boys die. Can you imagine being a mother and watching your little two boys fry to death? They literally were burning up in front of her.
You know, listen, they have a deputy mayor of public safety who has no public safety background, Gillison. I mean, come on. Are you kidding me? This guy was a lawyer that dealt with criminals. He has no public safety background whatsoever. I mean, he's a political appointee. So when he gets on the radio, or when he gets on the newspapers and tells you about, you know, this is all right and that's all right, you know, you got to consider the source. I mean, he's just doing the mayor's bidding, and that's all there is to it. I mean, you know, Gillison has no public safety background whatsoever, except when he was appointed to this position.
I remember when you guys had applications for the fire department 2 years ago, and then he froze the employment. Do you think he'll do that again now that the applications are out there again?
No, we have so much. We're bare boned. When I came on a department in 1978, I believe there was 2,850 firemen. Today we have 2,100 people in the field. We have about 1,900 firefighters and about 200 paramedics. We have been taking over the last 30-some years, cuts going all along. I think in my 33 years on a job, I believe there was 11 engine companies closed, 6 or 7 ladder companies, 2 battalions were decommissioned, a division was decommissioned, a fireboat was put out, the airport company in Northeast was put out. We've been taking our cuts all along. And the idea that, you know, they think that they can do, you know, more with less is crazy. Former Commissioner Hairston, who I never believed with a lot of his policies, but when he testified in front of City Council, he made a statement that was prophetic. And what he said was, I can't do more with less. I can only do less with less. And anybody that thinks that they can do the same amount of work with you know, a third of the people. They're crazy. They're just not telling you the truth. It's that simple. And I understand, you know, that the city's population has gone down, but the city's area hasn't gotten any smaller. We're still doing the same amount of, you know, the same area, 130 square miles is the city. And the idea is you have some companies, when they're browned out, you know, when I was Battalion 4, which is a 4th and Arch, I was a battalion chief there, and they closed Engine 8, which was the original company that Benjamin Franklin formed, you know, in the Revolutionary times. They closed that, and then they turned around and they brown out the Chinatown Ladder Company. When you get a fire downtown, you have to understand what you're dealing with here. You're dealing with small streets, you're dealing with high rises, you're dealing with apartments, you're dealing with alleys that you can't get down, you can't get ladders down, and you need these people here.
And traffic.
And traffic, that's not even, you had Engine 43, sometimes you get a late run in the afternoon when it's, you know, Engine 43, which is at 21st and Market, they can't get out of their station.
Mike, you know who Karen Brown is, right?
Sure.
Okay. Are you guys supporting Karen Brown for mayor?
I don't. You'd have to talk to Billy Gall because I don't know what
I'm supporting you whether you're supporting me or not because I believe
what happened
firemen
in the primary kind of, you know, that was I don't know what the story is. I don't even think we've discussed it. We got so much flack from when we.
You know, I know
back Milton Street in the primary and took an absolute beating from not only the press and the people in the city, but also our own members. So
the members can't want another 4 years or nutter, though. I know the firemen are not happy with the administration as it is, and I know you've taken a lot of cuts. But I wanted to ask, with this administration, do you believe there's more cuts or less?
I think if he gets reelected, I think he's going to come through our department with a saber saw. I think he's going to tear us apart.
How will you be able to function if they take a saw to you?
That's a question that Mayor Nutter has to answer. Here's the thing: everybody comes to the firefighters and they say, you know, it's, and especially the union, and says, all right, you need to make sure that public safety is your number one, and it is. But the thing everybody has to understand: our job as union officials is to make sure that when we pull up to a job, that we have the proper manpower on that apparatus and the proper equipment to do the job. It's the mayor's and city council's job and responsibility to make sure that we have that. And the idea that they want to just cut and cut and cut, and it's so unfair because our injuries are up. You know, the injuries to firefighters are up.
Your injuries are up?
There's a funeral going on as we speak for a fireman. Am I correct that passed?
Pardon me?
There's a funeral going on as we speak for a fireman that passed.
Today?
Yes, because a friend of mine is actually attending it.
No, I didn't see that. I'm sorry. You know, our response times are up. Our injuries are up. Like I said earlier, we haven't had a contract in over, what, a year and a half? Now, here's something a lot of people don't understand. For, what, 5 or 6 decades, we had economic parity with the police department. Now, the police had their contract awarded in December of 2009. Right now, every police person, every cop in the city is making 12% more than firefighters are. They got 5% stress pay, and then they got a 3% and 4% raise. So how fair is it to the firefighters in this city who had economic parity with police for decades, and all of a sudden now the cops are making 12% more than us, and they come to us and say, oh, you know, the fire department, you're you know, the overtime budget's out of control. The overtime's, the fire department's out of control because they haven't hired anybody in over 3 years.
Well, Mike, usually when overtime gets out of control, that's an indicator that you need to hire people.
Right.
You know, it's not an indicator that, I mean, these guys aren't just saying, oh, geez, you know, I think I'll sit around for an extra 3 hours. That's not what's going on, right?
Right. And here's the thing, too. See, what people in the city don't understand is we have mandatory staffing in our contract. In other words, when an engine company pulls up, they have an officer and 3 men. And when a ladder truck pulls up, they have an officer and 4 men. That's in our contract. That is something that we want the court to say, this is our safety, because we don't want to pull up with an officer and one man or an officer and two men, and then something happens and you have firemen getting in trouble that don't have the proper people to back them up. So the only way that they can affect reductions in the fire service is to close companies or brown out more companies. Because if we didn't have this in our contract, if we didn't have mandatory staffing in our contract, the city would just say, well, I tell you what, from now on, we're going to only have one officer and two members on an engine truck and one officer and two members on a ladder truck and deal with it when you get there. The coverage will be there, but when we pull up, we're not going to have the manpower to do the job.
I'm going to make you laugh, Mike. I was looking at the Daily News. I was talking to you about that article. Mm-hmm. Daily News needs a spell check because they said blame brownouts, not brownouts. No. They obviously don't even know what they're talking about. I know that the firemen, they took a hit. They did endorse me in the primary. They did a split endorsement of Milton and myself, and they took a hit on both counts. And I'm not even asking them to take a hit now because I know that Michael Nutter's put out to all the unions, support her, and I'll remember. Well, I'm hoping that he'll remember how he lost the election, because the union, whether they support me or not, the membership will support me. Because truly, I don't think we should have ever cut anything in the fire department or the police department. Because you know what they're not telling you, or they're not telling the people? What do you guys start your pay with? What's your starting pay? Isn't it $35,000?
Yeah, it might be a little better than that right now. I'm not sure. I don't have the pay scale in front of me, but
I know it's not even $40,000, but who would take a job in this economy, in this day and age, for that kind of money and run into a blazing building? You don't do it for the money. You do it because it's something you love and something you truly believe in. It's a vocation, and that's what people don't get. Cops and firemen don't do it because they're going to get wealthy, because I don't see too many firemen and cops that are wealthy. And you guys got slammed, too, because I fought to keep the drop for the firemen and the cops. And they said, well, how could you want a drop program for them? Would you explain to the people that are listening why the drop program is important for the firemen and the cops?
Well, here's the thing that most people don't understand. We don't pay into Social Security. We're not part of Social Security. So the only thing we have is our pensions. Now, people that, you see a lot of cops and firemen that have side jobs and stuff like that, or have little businesses on the side, and they pay into Social Security. And even if you have your quarters, President Reagan, back in the 80s, they did a windfall profit tax on Social Security. So even if I'm eligible to collect Social Security when I'm 62 or 65 years old, I'm penalized. I can only collect 40% of it. So what you have is, I have enough quarters. So when I want to collect Social Security, say when I'm 65 years old, if I'm entitled to collect $1,000 from what I paid into the system, I'll only be allowed to collect $400 a month because I have a government pension. And it's what people don't understand. So when they, under George Casey, brought that, when they were actually at an international conference down, I believe in Louisiana, down in New Orleans, and everybody's talking drop this and drop that, and we turn around, what's drop? And they bring it back and they explain it, and they brought it back to city council. And the thing that cracks me up is when they had it, they brought it to city council, Michael Nutter's railing about, the drops breaking the city. Well, guess what? Guess who sponsored that bill? Michael Nutter's name's on that sponsoring that bill of drop. So, you know what I mean? Don't
but
come
it's
to
not,
us.
It's not really the city's money. It's really your money that you're paying into the drop program, and they're just giving you interest on it,
that's
right?
That's absolutely correct. And what happened was...
So how could it be breaking the city if they're just returning to you what was yours to begin with?
Well, what happened is there was a guaranteed 4.5% when they first put it in. So back when they first gave into into the program, the stock market was pulling down 8, 9, 10%. I think one year it actually made 12%. And then so they were actually making money, only paying 4.5% out, and they were, pulling down 8 or 10%. And then when the stock market collapses and we had the big economic turndown in 2008, then they're saying, wait a minute, we're not collecting this money, we're not making this money in the stock market anymore. And now it's costing us money. But for years they were making money on a drop program. They didn't tell you that. That's the difference.
And also, I think when the elected officials joined the bandwagon, which they should have never been in the drop, I think that killed the drop program too and gave it a bad name because their money was much higher than any fireman or cop would have ever gotten. You guys are not getting six-figure pensions. It would be nice if you were, but you're not.
And you know, like you were talking, I overheard earlier when, before I got on here, you know, some of the things that, you know, about raising taxes and raising revenue, some of the things that were brought up during our contract negotiations. I mean, we had a thing from the city controller's office, you know, back in 2008 where they did a study that, you know, in that year there was $117 million in uncollected water bills alone. The city was owed over $1 billion, and whether it's back taxes, whether it's, you know, unpaid water bills, gas bills, fines, people have jumped bail. Now, if you got $1 billion owed to the city and 80% of it's uncollectible because people either skip the city or can't afford it or whatever, if you only collected 20% of that, that's $200 million. You ain't got a budget for.
Yeah, but you know, not all that money's real. I mean, I can tell you, for example, I kept fighting a bill from the city for years, because I didn't owe it. You know what? After 7 years of fighting it, I just gave them the money because it was easier for me, peace of mind. Guess what they did? They gave me another bill.
Unbelievable.
I've got three more bills that I don't owe that they're now threatening me with. Probably because I was stupid and paid the first one.
Never pay them something you don't know. They think you have money and they'll come after you for more.
Well, they're not going to get it because, you know, quite honestly, you know, I'll use a lawyer before I give them any more money. I already gave them a pound of flesh that they weren't owed.
I mean, that year there was $60 million that was billed for EMS services, for rescue squad services, for medic units. And, you know, they only collected $25 million of the $60 million owed. I mean, that's $35 million up in smoke. I mean, there's ways that, you know what I mean?
Mike, I wonder, we were talking about before you got on about the policemen having 15-year-old cars. Now, I know a lot of the engines you have are pretty old, too. Can you tell me about that?
Our reserve apparatus, NFPA, which is National Standard Firefighter Service, basically says that after 5 years, now you have three different categories of apparatus. You got frontline apparatus, they're the ones that you run in every day, all right? They're the ones that are in the firehouses. Then you have a 100 series, so if, say they got to do some maintenance on a frontline piece, they can bring a 100 series, which has, say if it's an engine company, it'll have the hose line on or have everything, and all you do is take over your personal gear, you take over, you know, your Scott packs and everything else, your first responder bags, your medical bags and everything, and use it temporarily for a day or two until they fix your frontline piece. And then you'll have a 200 series piece, which is stripped of everything. So say if a frontline apparatus needs a new transmission, it's going to be out of service for a month or two while they get a new transmission in it. What they'll do is they'll bring a 200 series apparatus in, and they'll use that temporarily until they get the frontline apparatus back. But what happens is NFPA rules, well, their recommendation is, after 5 years, all frontline apparatus should become a 100 series. And after 10 years, all apparatus should become 200 series. And after 15 years, they should just put them out of service.
That's should be's. What's right. Reality?
What's reality is we have apparatus in the city of Philadelphia 20, 25 years old.
Yeah, I mean, are those frontline or are they, you know, way in the back?
Some of them are both. Some of them are frontline.
So you got 25-year-old equipment. Front line.
I shouldn't say that because I don't have the facts and figures in front of me to back it up, but I know
Listen, you've been there. You saw it. I don't care about the facts and figures. I care what you saw with your own eyes, and you're saying you saw it.
You're in friendly
territory. And I believe you.
I'll give you a perfect example of what this was a few years ago. I was a lieutenant at 52nd and Willows, Engine 68 Ladder 13 Station. I was the lieutenant of Ladder 13 on the A Platoon. Our frontline apparatus was in the shop for about 9 months. That's how they couldn't get it fixed for whatever reason. We were using about a 30-year-old ladder company from 169, which is down at 82nd and Tinicum. It was a backup thing, and it wouldn't start all right. Now, we're in one of the busiest ladder companies in the city, in West Philadelphia, and we're running. We're really doing a lot of fires, and there was a problem with the starter in this 30-year-old apparatus. And we had the mechanic out one night, and he gets underneath the thing, and he hits a starter with a hammer, and he says, "All right, you're fine." And I went, "You're kidding me, right?" "Well, wait a minute, it gets better." I said, "What happens if after you leave
mechanic?
And 2 hours later?" He said to me, I said, "What if that piece won't start?" He just, "Well, tell one of your men to get underneath the apparatus and hit the starter with a hammer." And I said, "Who should I use for that? Should I use my Scott Pack man or my hook man to be the guy smacking it?" But that's
you need to get a hammer man.
Yeah, you need a knack. Yeah, that's right. I need another guy on the ladder for my hammer man.
You need a trained mechanic is what you need.
I mean, there was when I was working in Germantown, Shelton and Baton, they had a light wagon up there that was over 30 years old. They had a child that was missing. Now, this light wagon comes with all kind of portable lighting. You can light up a football field with this thing. They had a child missing down around Cobbs Creek and Spruce Street. And it was just getting dark in summertime. They call for the light wagon. This guy goes from Shelton and Baton all the way out to Cobbs Creek and Spruce Street. As he pulls up, the police commander's standing there. And this child, you know, is a 6 or 7 year old missing. He's in the park. The parents are going nuts. The whole neighborhood's. And the guy turns around, he says, "All right, back that light wagon up on the hill. I want you to illuminate this whole area." So, of course, the guy backs it up, starts a generator, hits the light switch. One light comes on. And the cop goes, "What the hell is that?" And he goes, "That's all that works, buddy." And he goes, "Get that thing out of here." He took all the cop cars and put all the cop cars up on the hill and told them to put their high beams on.
That's all that works?
Honest truth.
That's something out of a comedy.
That's something out of, you know, Rescue Me or something. That's something out of TV, but that's a true story.
You can't write this, and that's why Rescue Me.
Can't make that stuff up.
Yeah, Rescue Me is doing so well because he's getting it from Philadelphia.
I'm telling you, I'm
glad you came on because it was me saying, and people was like, "Oh, you don't know." I said I really wanted a fireman to come on because I know this stuff to be true. I have family members that are firemen, and I listen to it at the dinner table, and I'm appalled because I have both firemen and cops. When I hear that they break down on runs, I'm amazed that, you know, people are not aware of this. And when they allow their mayor to go ahead and cut the core services, both you and the police, I don't know why they don't stand up and scream, because I want to scream every minute of every day.
I tell people, look, you know, I could. It's frustrating because what people don't understand is when you go to a major fire, when you pull up, and God forbid, like that Alani fire that you were at, or any other time, and you pull up as a firefighter, and like I said, I did 33 years on a job. I just retired a couple months ago. When you pull up, and there's a mother standing on the front porch screaming, "My children are in there." And you just go into this mode that you're saying, "All right, man, this is just what I get paid. Get your butt in there." And when you pull up as a battalion chief, like that man did up in Alani, and you pull up and there's a mother standing on the front porch and you ain't got the equipment behind you, and all you can hear is the sirens, and they're saying, "Where are you at? Where are you at? Where are you at?" It's you want to talk about a gut check. You know,
it broke my heart just listening to her. And I, you know, it's funny. Nobody came out. There was no politicians with the exception of me and Billy Gault.
Yeah.
And no TV came out to hear this woman cry.
Mike?
Yes.
I can hear the emotion in your voice. I mean, we really can identify with that. I want you to hold on to the phone line. We're going to go to a break.
Absolutely.
Okay. Hey, are you tired of paying $60 for antivirus? Well, I got some good news for you. Right now, Cybersoft Operating Corporation is having a back-to-school sale. I know, it's back to school, but $19.95 for a whole year of Windows antivirus for your Microsoft Windows computer. www.cyber.com. Hit the button that's for AnLab and take a look. You can even do a free trial. So anyway, I want to thank you for listening to Between the Minutes on 860 AM WWDB, and you can also friend us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/BTM Radio. More of Between the Minutes next on Radio 860 AM WWDB.
The Between the Minutes radio show is brought to you by Cybersoft Operating Corporation, www.cyber.com, for the best in antivirus software security.
Hi, this is Pete Rodotti of Between the Minutes. Almost 1 million neighbors are suffering from hunger in the Delaware Valley. That's more people than ever before. For help, call 800-319-3663 or visit www.philabundance.org to see how you can help your neighbors in need.
Looking to increase your business and build your selling power? Then you should advertise on Between the Minutes, the Tri-State's newest political, business, and special interest radio talk show, Between the Minutes. Heard heard every Tuesday at 10 a.m. on Radio 860 AM, WWDB. For more information, call 610-828-8333. That's 610-828-8333. Or email sales@betweentheminutes.com.
Hi, this is Anthony Murphy, the Executive Director of Town Watch Integrated Services.
And this is Pete Rodotti of Between the Minutes.
And Philadelphia needs you.
Who, me?
Yes, you. We need you to get involved in your community by joining a Town Watch in the city of Philadelphia.
How do I do that?
Or you reach out to me at 215-686-1459 or at www.townwatch.net, and we provide you with training, equipment, and the type of support you will need to be involved in your community.
So I can really join?
You can really join.
Join us. At Philadelphia Town Watch Integrated Services.
Between the Minutes continues on the Tri-State Area's Information Talk Station, 860 WWDB.
Welcome back to Between the Minutes. Let's get back to today's show and guest on Between the Minutes, which is general election candidate for mayor in the November, well, primary, and Karen Brown. Karen, you've been listening to everything. And Mike, are you still on the phone? Hey, Mike, you still there?
Yes, sir.
Okay, good. Mike, I want you to listen to something. Okay, Karen, tell me what's happening with the unions. Tell me what's happening to you since you've started running for mayor.
I've been a union girl for many, many years because I'm four generations building trades, and I was in three unions myself. So I've always supported the unions, especially the firemen and the cops, because I have much family in both of those groups. Because I've been supportive of them and they tried to support me, they've actually gotten the old Michael Nutter threat. If you support her, and I know it, lose my phone number. So they're a little leery because I am a long shot. I'm a woman. And I ran the Republican ticket, even though I was 31 years Democrat. And even though the unions know I've taken it on the chin for them, literally, because my car has been vandalized 8 times. That they threw acid on it the last time. And now State Farm's threatening to drop my insurance, which I've had for 15 years. Because they said the vandalism needs to stop and they can't insure me anymore with the vandalism in this race. So even though I've taken it on the chin for the unions are a little leery to take it on the chin for me. But many of them have come and supported me the way they could. And the fire department was too. They did in the primary. They're a little leery to do it now because they did take it. They took a hit because of that. And Michael Nutter has let them know because he knows that's my stronghold, the unions. And I believe, I'm glad that Mike's on here today because he's saying what I've been saying all along. The unions are getting hammered by Michael Nutter. He's never been union friendly. And the first thing he goes after are our firemen, our cops. We should be supporting them wholeheartedly. Whether the union supports me or not, I know the members will. I had breakfast with a bunch of the police force this morning. They happen to go to the same diner that I go to. And whether or not the GOP, I shouldn't say FOP, comes out and actually supports me because I am part of the GOP, or even if I was a Democrat, being a woman running against Michael Nutter, I probably get the same traction. They're a little leery because I'm a long shot. It doesn't matter because I know the members are with me, and that's what I need. The union can only give me one vote. The members can give me many. And I'll take the vote any way I can get it. Because whether they're for me or not, I'm for them. And when I get in, I'm not like Michael. Because whether you endorse me or not, I'm never going to do anything to hurt my city. And by hurting the cops and the firemen, I hurt my city. I have family in there. And even if I didn't, I was a school teacher for 23 years. I would never put a child in harm's way. And listening to that mother tell me how she had to stand there while she watched her two boys in flames. I'm a mother. I can't imagine the pain she had. And listening to that little girl say about, you know, she's ugly now. I'm ugly now because she's got burns on the whole side of her body. That should have never happened. The firemen should have been there and those three kids should have been saved. No child should die because we're trying to save money. Save money, Michael, by cutting your staff. He's got, Mike from the fire department said the city is less employees, and that's true. But Michael Nutter's staff has never been cut. He's got more staff than Rendell did, and we have more people living in Philly at the time. So if he's going to cut somewhere, let it cut it among his own. You cut first at home before you cut somewhere else, and you never cut safety.
Now, Mike, I got a question for you.
Sure.
1 minute. I don't want to hear from Local 22. I don't want to hear from the firefighters. I want to hear from Mike. And I don't even know you, Mike, and I don't even know your last name. Tell me what you just heard.
Well, see, the difference you need to understand is there's two type of unions. One is the building trades unions, you know, the carpenters, electricians, the steam fitters, and the pipe fitters and stuff like that. Then you have municipal unions. Big difference. And I'll give you the exact what you need to know. Back when Brady and Nutter...
You got to go faster, Mike. We're running out of time.
Anyway, after Nutter won the primary from Brady, I attended a meeting at the Carpenters Hall on Spring Garden Street with the police department and all the trade unions. And Bob Brady got up and said, this was just a family squabble. I want $25,000 out of everybody's PAC fund for Michael Nutter tomorrow. All right? If there was 12 unions in there, Michael Nutter walked away with about $300,000 that morning. Not one eye blinked in that room. And at that time, our PAC fund had about $87 in it, and I just cracked up laughing because I said, they ain't getting no money from us. And believe me, money talks and bullshit, you know, which call it walks, all right?
That's
sorry.
Okay.
But the idea is Michael Nutter has no respect for municipal unions. His money is tied in with trade unions, and that's where he's going to, and that's where he's making his cuts. That's what
Mike.
It's about.
Thank you for being on the show. I really appreciate it.
Okay.
And you had some really good stuff to say, Karen. I hope you get elected.
I hope I do too. In fact, when I do, I'll come back and we'll have a little rally about the fact that Michael Nutter's gone and I'm in, and things are going to change.
Great. Thank you for listening to Between the Minutes on Radio 860 AM, WWDB, and on the web at www.betweentheminutes.com. Brought to you by Cybersoft Operating Corporation, www.cyber.com. We'll be back with more of Between the Minutes on Radio 860 AM, WWDB next week.